grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. John Diamond. This is the show America Unhinged, where we are fervently patriotic and unapologetically Christian. If you're watching us live, it is probably on Brighteon TV. Please share Brighteon TV with everybody that you know. It is 5/25/23, and I just returned from several days down in Orlando at the NRB convention. The Media Mountain is really starting to take off. The people that I had talked to that had been there said this is actually the best one they've ever been to, and many of these people have been to them for 20, 30 years. So people are starting to understand that this is a space that Christians have not occupied for quite a while, and have allowed the secular world to kind of dominate this. But all of that's changing, and we're going to help with that here with America Unhinged, and my ministries has helped raise up other media churches, so to speak. So we got a great show for you today. A couple ladies that I've got to know pretty well, and we'll be right back after this break.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. I got in from the airport about 1 a.m. in Buffalo last night and had to drive, so I got very little sleep, but the show today should kind of take care of itself. We have our good friend Donica Hudson back with us today that, if you've been following this show, we promoted the first landing event, but a lot of great things going on, not only things that have gone on in the past, but a lot of things that are going on in the future that we need you to know about and learn about and pray about. I do want to remind you that Dr. Alan Keyes is going to be available for speaking events this summer. My brand new business, Peacemakers Publishing, is the very first book we're going to publish is Dr. Alan Keyes' new book. And then we've already got some other people lined up that want to do that. So we're going to be providing a publishing option here that is kind of very reasonably cheap for people. A lot of the people in our space are not rich. A lot of people are just homeschooled mothers or, you know, fathers with a job, and they realize that they have a message, but they don't have a way to get it out. So we'll be talking a lot more about that in the days to come. If you were following us for any length of time, you've heard us talk about the first landing event. And the thing that was so amazing to me, and we've had a lot of follow-up conversations about this, is just the truth that is coming out now. And these great number of speakers, again, I encourage you to go to that first Landing 1607 site and just watch the individual speakers. Yeah, if you scroll down there a little bit on the screen, you'll see where they've broken up the individual speakers. So you can see my little 10-minute thing. There you go, right there in the middle, and scroll, and you can see all the speakers. Please go there and watch those. I think there's over 10 hours of videos there from start to finish. And most of us are just very, very small sound bites, so to speak. But let me start with a scripture verse right here, because I think this has to do with what we're doing now and what we're going to be doing in the future. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2, and I'll just read verses 9 and 10. It says this, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they may be saved. So that is what is happening right now. The truth is going out, and people are choosing whether they're going to accept the truth or they're going to reject the truth. Rejecting the truth is a very, very dangerous thing to do, because you think, well, I can just change my mind at any time. No, there will be a strong delusion sent, and you will not be able to accept the truth because you've rejected it so many times. And we can go back to the Old Testament and look at Pharaoh. When Moses told Pharaoh to let my people go, what did it say he did? He hardened his heart. He hardened his heart 5 times. But what's it say on trial 6 through 10? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So God gives you enough time to hear the truth, to acknowledge the truth, and then pretty much you're going to set yourself on a path that you may not be able to recover from. So we're living in very important times, very perilous times, but very exciting times, because God's using a lot of us to speak the truth, whether it's through mediums like this or conferences and others. So I want to welcome our good friend Donica Hudson back with us. Good morning, Donica.
Good morning. So good to be with you, John.
Absolutely. And I assume you had a good show with Alan yesterday?
It was excellent. Love Dr. Alan Keyes.
Yeah. And you guys are really on the same page and with the same mindset there. So this is the first time that we've had you on since the first landing event, the 16. Everybody raves about Glenn Beck's speech. I mean, he was so transparent. He was so open. I mean, Sandra Martin Hicks yesterday was just like, it was just like he exposed his soul to everybody. I was expecting some kind of maybe kind of political type of thing. Man, it was nothing like that, was it?
Oh, it wasn't. And you could feel God's presence in there. He gave everyone present permission to be human. Mm-hmm. And also at the same time drew us into a transparency that's so necessary to go to that cross that was planted there at Cape Henry by the colonists in 1607.
We're kind of transitioning into the next phase, and you got some great things going on with Robert Agee. He guest hosted for me day before yesterday. You have some ideas about some stadium tour. So let's kind of put a bow on the event and just briefly talk about the aftermath of that. What have you seen coming from the aftermath of the event?
Well, what I've seen is incredible. It's that we were obedient to God to go there and to recovenant with the original civil covenant of this nation. And for those of you who may not be familiar with that, in April of 1607, the colonists landed at Cape Henry at Virginia Beach, and they planted a cross, a huge wooden cross in the sand. They knelt, took communion, dedicated themselves and this land we know as America to God. Then they prayed that they would be able to evangelize those within these shores from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and that America would be evangelist to the world, and prayed that when generations to come, keyword generations to come, would look at that cross, that we would join them in this civil covenant. So I believe we've moved from a time of recovenanting, rededicating America back to God, to now fulfilling that covenant with the generations. And, you know, John, we're all about it. Our age group, we're parents and grandparents. And we, it's one thing for us to come back and recognize and realize the importance of the civil covenants that our founding fathers made and to join them in it. But if our children don't recognize that, we've lost our country. You know, so not only do we want to see them join in the blood covenant with Jesus Christ, but we want to see them join with us in understanding that God bless this nation. We are a unique nation. We are the last nation standing in the face of an antichrist globalist spirit that the elite want to sweep our Constitution out of the way and sweep us into a one world government that we know biblically sets the stage for the rise of the antichrist one world government. So that's really the spiritual battle we're facing, and it can only be dealt with in a spiritual way. So that's why I believe the Remnant Revolution Tour that Robert and Jamie Agee are pioneering, which was birthed out of the first landing 1607 event, is so crucial. Folks, if you're wanting to join in that, you could go to remnantrevolutiontour.com. And then we also want to birth covenant crusades where we're focusing on the blood covenant of Jesus Christ, the civil covenants of our founding fathers, because as you well know, John, you've written the books on it. The civil covenants are all based in covenantal theology. We called upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to bless this nation. And it's important that our children and our children's children know that and enter into that same kind of divine protection. That's the only way we're going to make it dealing with the evil that has come to steal, kill, and destroy our nation.
The children, and again, when I've done a lot of my research and a lot of the studying that I've done, you know, even in the Constitution, we established this Constitution for ourselves and our posterity. And it seemed like our founding fathers were far more worried about the generations that followed them than they cared about themselves. That's why they put in the Declaration, we, you know, basically we're sacrificing our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors for the children and for the next generation. And it seems like we're living in a pretty, I think it's starting to change again, especially with COVID and the masks and the schools and everything. And a lot of the mama bears are rising up and taking leadership position, which they are absolutely must needed. But for years, it seemed like everybody was so engrossed in the world and the things of the world and the cares of the world that they really didn't even care what was going to happen to the next generation. And I think we're starting to reap the fruit of that.
You are so spot on. And you quoted the covenantal clause of the Declaration of Independence where, you know, our forefathers, they risked their lives, their fortunes, and their most sacred honor. And many of them did lose their lives. And that's what makes it a blood covenant. They didn't love their lives unto death. They sacrificed for us. And so we, you know, God recognizes that. If we think like the God who created the heavens and the earth, and we understand that everything we see, he did by covenant. He covenanted with night and day. You know, he covenanted with Abraham to bring Jesus, the Messiah, into humanity. You know, there's so much understanding in the Word of God that you flesh out in your book, John, that people need to understand, because we have had a massive psyop, mm-hmm. psychological operation done on the American people by those, we're not going to just call it the left, but they have been used most definitely. But the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy is known as the great deceiver and the father of lies. And in the opening scripture that you created, it was lying deceits. That's where we're in. That's such an apropos verse for what we're in right now, and how we fight is with the truth.
Yeah, and it really is just a ton of bad theology that's out there in our churches today. I mean, I've been members of most denominations as I started when I became a Christian at 27, and I kind of explored Christianity, so to speak. I mean, I went to a Bible college that had Lutheran pastors and Baptists and Pentecostal, and so I learned a lot from, you know, what all the different denominations believe. Most people are just pigeonholed into whatever they're raised in, maybe one other church. They have not done the diligent study of all the different denominations and all the different views and tried to figure out, you know, which one was it. But the covenant theology, that is something that is sorely lacking just even in Christianity. I mean, if we just leave America out of the equation and the covenants, the Mayflower Compact and, you know, the 1607, the Declaration, the Constitution, if we leave just those civil covenants out and we even just study what covenant theology is from a purely biblical standpoint, I don't even think we'd be talking about this today.
That's right. And chapter 5 in my book, Pray America Great, is on covenant so that America can understand it, because we have a contract mentality where it's if then clauses. So if one party fails to meet the obligation, well, you just sever the contract. Well, that is not covenant. Covenant is till death do you part. Jesus is going nowhere. He gave his life once and for all. He fulfilled the law. And he will not leave us. It's we who leave him. And so when we take that understanding into the civil covenants and know that our founding fathers who bled for us, died so that we could have this freedom, that Jesus is not left, even if we've left him, even if the society, and I know God looks down and he sees that great swaths of Americans have been misled and deceived into believing communism or socialism, where government is God, is the right way to go. And it is so antithetical to the scriptures. God wants for us to be a free people who can worship him freely. That's why the founding colonists came here in 1607. You see this backdrop behind me. It was to escape tyranny and have the freedom to worship God. That's why God was in every civil covenant. Our founders all were mindful of the freedom, then the rights that God gave us. Nature and nature's God is in the preamble. And so I think that, John, when we highlight these things, it wakes people up to understand there's really not a separation of church and state. That's a big bogus lie that has been perpetrated to keep the body of Christ within the four walls of the church and not to influence the government, so that the government can then take over, become God, and rule us. You know, the Antichrist spirit is very active, would love to take over our nation. And the only way he cannot do that is if we, the people who are the church, the body of Christ, stand up and push back.
Yeah, exactly right. And again, that's why, I mean, I love the way that our kind of ministries and messages dovetail together, because as the theologian, I really appeal more to the scripture, you know, than just, but I mean, I love the covenants and I love the declaration and I speak on them and teach on them. But if we just go back to Israel, you know, every nation had a king. Every single nation had a king when Israel was birthed. Israel was the first nation that was not given a king, right? And when they asked for a king, they got themselves in trouble. But they were the most freest people in the history of the world at that point. They had nobody ruling over them other than the Lord himself, right? And they had just absolute freedom. And I think it was Bill Fetter, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that talked about the Hebrew Republic at your event. That's what people don't understand, that Israel, everybody wants to say Israel was a theocracy. No, the world's a theocracy. Israel was a republic. They elected their leaders. They chose their leaders. There was strict guidelines. They can't take bribes. They can't be men of evil. You know, they got to love truth. There were certain guidelines for you to choose and elect your leaders. And we've abandoned that. Our founding fathers understood that model. We were based off, really, if you read Thomas Paine, we were built off the Hebrew Republic. We tried to get as close to the original perfect government that we possibly could. And having a king was not one of the things that they wanted.
And, you know, you bring up such a good point. And I say this, and it's on the website for the firstlanding1607.com. But God did issue Israel a certificate of divorce in Jeremiah 3:8. So even though they were a republic, they strayed from God. So it's important that we as Americans know we can leave God. And he could issue us a certificate of divorce, so to speak. But I believe that there's a remnant that has arisen, and we are part of that remnant. If you're watching this program, you are part of the remnant, if you're in blood covenant with Jesus Christ, that he is raising up to push back against the powers of darkness so that America is restored.
Yeah, and again, it comes really back to that broken theology that I hear coming out of the churches and really out of the mouth of a lot of pastors. Oh, the Bible says it's going to be like this, so we just need to hunker down in our bunkers and, you know, we're going to get raptured out at the last minute and we're not going to have to deal with any of this stuff. And that's the sad thing about it. And when they talk about, well, the Antichrist is going to basically control the whole world, that's really theologically incorrect. You know, there's only 10 kings that actually give their power and authority to the Antichrist. So there's going to be nations that do not follow him. Matter of fact, Jesus said, when I return, I'll separate the nations, the wheat or the goat nations and the sheep nations. So there are going to be sheep nations that follow the shepherd. There are going to be goat nations that are stubborn and fall into that delusion. And I honestly believe that, Donica, we're going to be found as one of those sheep nations. We're going to restore the covenant. We're going to restore our relationship with God. We have everything in our favor. We've got 200 years of court cases. We've got all the founding documents. The only thing we need to do is take those documents into the courtroom of heaven and ask God for a judgment on those.
And that is the message that America needs to hear, Dr. John Diamond, that we are going to be a sheep nation, because that gives us hope. We have to have hope for humanity and recognize the authority that we have as the body of Christ so that we can stop this push to sweep America into that group of the 10 kings, the one world government.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you're starting to see that now. I just saw some emails when I walked into the studio this morning about, I think it was Intercessors for America. It's like, what's the WHO preparing next? They're talking about the next big pandemic. And even Bill Gates talked about, 2 years ago when this thing started, oh, wait till the next one comes around. It'll really get people's attention. So, they've got some nefarious things planned, and it's all about enslavement. It's all about control, and it's really about depopulation also. I mean, we can't leave that off the table. And I had Michelle Swinnick on. She said, look, once you come to the realization that they want to either enslave you or kill you, then that's the only way all of this stuff makes any sense, because none of it makes any sense any other way.
There's organizations, too, that are aware of this, that are Christian organizations, the medical community, and Dr. Lee Valit and I are friends. I was on her broadcast earlier this week, and they actually have been preparing people for months about this new, the next plandemic that Gates has so sinisterly and given that sly smile as if taking joy in humanity's death, the eugenics population control that Bill Gates has laid out in his TED talk that I quote in my book. This is not, it sounds like it's a sci-fi movie. And when most people have never even heard it, the enemy wants to keep it covered, but they are, it's brazenly out there. If you research it, read John's book, read my book, and read Dr. Camp's books, who's coming on soon. God is preparing us. And if we will wake up and really take in the facts of what's happening, we will see that the Bible has a plan, a strategy for prayer, and that God is empowering his people in all seven mountains of culture to push back against this insidious evil.
I come down to justice. One of the things that I teach on is what they call the bloodless or the glorious revolution that happened in England 100 years before ours. That's why we had a revolution, is because England had had one 100 years prior, but they basically arrested and executed their king for violating all their rights. And that's what justice is. The Bible does not teach on justice anymore. If these people are violating God's law or constitutional law and they're the criminals, then the only way to stop it is to bring them to justice. Right. Yeah. And we got a court system. They have all the rights, everybody else. But the laws are in the books, But again, as a former police officer, if I'm driving down the road and I'm speeding, who's going to pull me over and give me a ticket? Another police officer? No, that's not going to happen. And it's the same thing that's happening in government with our courts and with our legislators and our executive branch. I mean, they're all running around just criminals, divine criminals, constitutional criminals, and none of them are holding each other's feet to the fire. And so until we get honest people in there who are kind of spotless themselves, they're not tarnished with bribes and all this other stuff, and they start insisting, that we hold these people accountable and let them go through the wheels of justice, they're just going to keep doing it because they don't think nobody's going to stop them.
And, we've done things and allowed things. Not only have we allowed prayer to be taken out of school and the Johnson Amendment of the past to muzzle pastors, even though that's been remedied, but the 1978 Ethics in Government Act effectually circumvented our three-branch process and has turned all of these battles into legal battles. That's why you see these three-letter agencies able to get away with overriding we the people in our three-branch process. So, I'm hoping that, I said this on Dr. Alan Key's broadcast yesterday, I'm hoping that a legislator picks this up, runs with it, and does something to push back, because we can change that.
And I think it's funny kind of how the left will ignore any rule, any law, any court order or anything when it suits them. But, if we basically say, look, judge, you don't have the authority to do that, we're not obeying you, and if you continue to do it, we'll have you arrested. I mean, they have no problem doing that. Like how many times they tried to arrest Trump. I mean, so, I mean, you know, we're playing on an uneven playing field. You know, I use the illustration like a football game. You know, one side has to follow the other rules. The other team can jump offside and pass interference and hold and face mask and unnecessary. They can do whatever they want, and they're not bound by any rules. Our side is ethical. We want to play according to the rule book, which makes it unfair, which is why, you know, your book with the covenants in heaven that are written in heaven, my book with a cry for divine justice, really is the only remedy left for this.
Yeah, and you know, we were so fortunate that our keynote speaker, Glenn Beck, and David Barton both recognized this, and they had actually been planning it before COVID shut down their On Covenant event that they were going to have, and joined us there as keynote speakers for the First Landing event. And you know, when Glenn Beck tells you, Donica, this is the only way that we save America, you know, we better take notice, because he's been reporting for decades now on the state of things and warning our society, David Barton as well. And you know, if you want to learn about covenant, get Dr. John Dahman's book, get my book, and really dive in there, because once we have it solidified in our hearts, you know this, Dr. Dahman, you can fight for anything when you know God is on your side.
Hey, man, well, I'm going to get you back on sooner rather than later. We still have a lot of stuff to talk about, especially with the Remnant Tour. I know Robert Agee probably talked about it for his whole hour when he was on the other day. But I want to talk about stadium tours and things that you have planned there, because we're certainly going to get behind you on that. So stay on, and we'll talk after the show. But I want to get you scheduled as soon as possible, probably early next month.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Donica. Have a great day. All right, everybody else, we will be right back after this break.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
So.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. I'm going to go ahead and just jump right into my second guest here. I hope you appreciate it, Donica. Well, Donica is the one that invited our next guest, Dr. Catherine Camp, and she spoke. If you go to 1607, and you can see her talking about education. But as I began to read and study and do my pre-show on her bio, it seemed like we had so much in common. We both are very scholarly, both love to study, love to do the deep dive. Into thing where Christianity is kind of really very superficial and surface level today. But we need that. We need that deep dive. So, Catherine, welcome to the program this morning.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And I do. I love Donica. So I am very grateful for being invited.
Absolutely. So how did you guys come to meet one another? How did you get introduced?
Well, somebody else you know, Robert Agee.
Okay.
Last summer, we were talking, we were having dinner, Robert, Jamie, and I, and they had no idea that I was a content provider. And so I started telling them about my show. They looked it up, and I said, I'd like to have some really interesting, theologically based individuals on the show. And so the first thing they did was they pulled up Donica Hudson and then the Resistance Chicks. So I've had them both on my show, and that's how I met Donica. And then she invited me to the First Landing Project, which was fantastic. And I did get to say the prayer, repentance prayer for education on during that event. And it was one of those events where I've been to many. I did not even leave the room. There were so many good speakers. It was just one after another, including yourself. It was captivating. So I didn't even go to my book table. So obviously that didn't do very well, but it was just good to meet people that are on the same page and that are all fighting for the same things.
Yeah, without a doubt, the same way. I didn't leave. I had my young boys with my two oldest boys with me. They're both teenagers. Had them there. And I mean, these are life-changing types of things, because you're not going to hear these. My kids are in Christian schools or in church. You know, you don't hear these things. The things that you're saying, the things that I'm saying, a lot of these people, you do not hear this in really any type of formalized setting, whether it's a church, whether it's even a Christian school. I mean, I'm trying to think of the lady from Regent University. I'm drawing a blank right now. Oh, Michelle Bachman.
Yes, Michelle Bachman.
She is absolutely wonderful. Sometimes when you're following up the dean of Regent University School of Government, you kind of get a little bit intimidated. You're kind of like, oh boy. But when I gave my little 10-minute appeal to heaven thing, she stopped me in the hallway and she's like, I've been in Congress for whatever 15 years, and now I'm the dean. I've never heard government explained from a biblical perspective. You know, like you did right there. And she said, we're going to get your Appeal to Heaven book. We're going to take it to the United Nations. We're going to pray the Appeal to Heaven prayer over the United Nations. And it really is going to take people like you and I to, you know, use this media that we got to really re-educate everybody, because our seminaries are not teaching it. Our churches are not teaching it. Our schools are not teaching it. So tell us about your show.
Well, it's called the Faith and Culture Show. And it's a little bit different. A lot of people are looking for sensationalism these days. But my show, I stick strictly to how do we look at what's going on in this culture theologically and from a biblical perspective. And so I really kind of have to restrain myself from interviewing all of these individuals who are incredibly knowledgeable about what's going on, because I need to rein in only the people who know the Bible and who can really speak from a biblical perspective, because the whole goal is to help people navigate this culture and bring others to Christ. So if you do know about the WHO, how do you bring that around? So those are the kind of things that we discuss on the show. And tonight I'm launching a new program called Theological Thursdays. That'll be live once a month, every third Thursday. And we are going to discuss what's going on. And in the world, but it'll be different because it's more about the character and nature of God. And because people have a real hard time, well, how can God let all of these horrible things happen? And so bringing that back around to what is God's character? What is his nature? Why is this happening? Why is the world so out of control? So we're going to tackle those difficult topics, but dig deep theologically and biblically on that.
Now, what is the kind of the format? Is it just like live on Rumble or live on your website? Tell the people if they're hearing it, and I know I want to follow it. How would we find that and follow that?
Okay, the Faith and Culture show is pre-recorded because I edit that whole series. And that is up on Rumble, BitChute. I just started loading up on Brightian, just a few of the more interesting topics. They're all interesting, but people seem to be very interested in the Nephilim and transhumanism on Brightian, whereas they're not so interested on that and on Rumble. Mm-hmm. And I've also started uploading on CloudHub. Now, the other one, the Thursdays, that will be live. And right now it will be live on Rumble and live on CloudHub. So.
Yeah, and if the producer can put her website up right there, I just want to let them navigate a little bit over to some of the things there. But right there, top Faith and Culture videos in the very top, there's a tab there you can go to. Man, you've got so many popular lecture topics that I would love to sit and listen to these. Some of these I've taught on in depth. One of them says, "What is truth?" And that's if you were with us at the opening show, you know, I opened up with 2 Thessalonians and talked about the coming of the Antichrist. And it says they will be deceived because they had not the love for the truth. And that is the key to everything. You got to love the truth. You got to want to hear the truth and understand the truth. Yes, the truth is going to challenge you. Yes, it's going to make you look at your own life and change some things and behaviors and mindsets, which is why people reject the truth, because it says they did not love the truth because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. So it was their pleasure in unrighteousness that caused them to reject the truth, which is now going to cause them to fall into deception. So, your thing here says, what is truth? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, Dr. John Diamond, you just mentioned that their pleasures, it's not that, you know, deceived them. It's not that God doesn't want us to have pleasure. It's the type of pleasure. Their pleasures became very perverted.
Right.
And so that's, people get upset with God, because I remember Oprah Winfrey saying that she left Christianity because she couldn't live with the fact that there was a jealous God. And what she didn't understand is he's jealous for our soul. Everything mm-hmm. hangs in the balance with us as humans, because we are very fragile. We are very porous. And what I mean by that is we are affected by our environment. And that all happened in Genesis 3:15, when Satan finally convinced our two forefathers that Adam and Eve, when he convinced them to doubt God's word, and everything broke at that moment in history. And so that's why things are like they are. It's not that God doesn't want us to have pleasures. It's just the perverted pleasures affect our mind and the way we think. Now, you asked me about truth. What is truth? Same thing Pilate asked Jesus, right?
Exactly.
So what is truth? It's absolute, and it must comport to reality.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this nonsense about your truth, my truth. No, one of us has the truth that comports to reality.
Right.
And there is absolute truth. And I'll never forget years ago when I started speaking up at my daughter's independent so-called Christian school, probably 15, 17 years ago now, when I started telling them, hey, you shouldn't be teaching the children this, and because this is what the Bible says, and this doesn't go together, and it's confusing for them. And I was confronted by the head of the school, and she said, you know, your absolutism is very worrisome to me.
Oh, no.
And I really wanted to turn back and say, well, your relativism is troubling to me as well. Yeah. So, yes, absolute truth is a thing. And in our culture, people don't want to believe that, but it has to comport to reality. If it doesn't, it's just in your head. And
right.
people can make up anything that they want. And that's why we live in the culture that we live in today. Look at what we're dealing with. People identify as something that they are not. That is called, that's some sort of psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs help. As a Christian, I feel for those people because something has gone wrong. Something has snapped along the way. They're not dealing in reality anymore.
Yeah, and that's great. And that really has to be the foundation of all Christian theology. I mean, everything that we believe. The one of the very first scriptures that God gave me to memorize was 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. But then it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you basically have to take everything that you believe and you have to take it captive and you have to analyze it in accordance with God's word. And if not, you're just believing something out of thin air. You're living in an unrealistic fantasy world that really does not exist.
Yep. And that will affect you. That will affect your family. That will affect everything that you do. In James, we're told, you know, everything, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but everything starts as an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not living in reality, then your ideas are going to be way off track and not in reality, which that leaves the door open to Satan and demonic activity. So everything starts as a thought, then it goes into, you know, a habit, right? We start living something out, we get into a habit, and then that habit will lead to our destiny. And that's what troubled God. He does not want us, our destiny, to be in forever hell. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And I know those are words that people can't handle these days, but that's reality. And that's why God has it in scripture. And Jesus mentions hell more than anybody else in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a real thing. And he's warning us. He says, it's better for you to pluck out your eye, right? Or to cut off your hand. He doesn't mean that literally, but he's saying, just stop it. Stop it, because the eternal destiny is the most important thing for people. And that's why that's my opening tagline on my Faith and Culture show is, you know, we need to have these conversations that are eternal with eternal perspectives, because this is, we're all going to end up somewhere. And guess what? Your holy and loving aunt who loves God is not going to be by your side appealing for you
mm-hmm.
at all. If when you stand before God in the end, it's you. If this is a personal relationship. Anyway,
it is. And then Paul, I mean, he talked about, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God's word. And that, again, the whole word of God is truth. And it's easy to look at one scripture and either twist it nefariously or just misinterpret it. But then you run across another scripture and you go, wait a minute, something's not right here. But if you're seeking truth, truth doesn't contradict truth. You're interpreting or misinterpreting one of these verses, that if you're interpreting the word of God correctly, all scripture is going to be harmonious. It's not going to say one thing here and say another thing here. And that's what I teach in one of my basic hermeneutics courses. If you run into a couple scriptures that seem that they contradict one another, that's a red flag. That's a warning sign. You better stop and go, wait a minute, what am I not understanding here? And then the spirit of truth will lead you in the right direction if you want to hear it.
That's correct. And we do live in a very challenging culture right now where Satan is still telling people, even in seminaries, okay, I tell people all the time, I did get my MDiv, my Master's of Divinity, for those who don't know what that means, in a seminary that considered itself middle of the road. But it to me, it was very liberal. And they did not believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. And so you have pastors out there that are in pulpits all over the place right now that do not believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. And this is a huge problem, because then that you have all sorts of contradictions. Every time you see a passage that you don't like, you change the meaning of it. And that's why I wrote a book called Under Investigation, Has Critical Scholarship. What was the rest of it? Has Critical Scholarship show, does it show that the Bible is not true? Basically, I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember my subtitle. Sorry. Anyhow, it tackles those scholarly arguments of historical and literary criticisms. And that's where people get this, like you said, they get these things that they consider, these passages they consider as contradictory to each other. And they're really not. You have to look at them, see common words, go look up the meaning of whether it's Greek from the New Testament or Hebrew in the Old Testament. That will lead you, then you'll begin to see, oh, they don't contradict.
Mm-hmm.
This is the character and nature of God. That's why when we study the Bible, we need to look at the character and nature of God. Would it be in the character of God to be fallible,
mm-hmm.
to make a mistake and say, oh, sexual diversity, gee, I was wrong. Let's wipe out an entire chapter in Leviticus. Oh, gee, Paul, you got it wrong. No, that would be incredibly contradictory to the nature of who God is. So then we have to wrestle with that. And that's what I had to do about 20 years ago when I learned that that was being taught as okay, and God is okay with it in my daughter's so-called Christian school years ago. I had to really wrestle with what I was hearing in the culture, what they were teaching at the school, and what the Word of God said. And so I had to really figure out, okay, how am I going to approach this God? What is going on? And he did. Like you said, the Spirit will lead you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the hermeneutics class that I teach, which is basically just in the blueprint, how to interpret God's word. And there are certain rules in place. You know that. You teach hermeneutics. There are rules in place that you have to follow. And here's one of the scriptures that I bring out all the time just to kind of to show them when people think, oh, it's easy to interpret the word of God. No, we got a lot of barriers. We got a linguistic barrier, a cultural barrier, a geographical barrier. I mean, we're trying to interpret a first century Middle Eastern book according to our 21st century mindset, and it just does not work. So your mind has to be reshaped. But I'm going to say, even if you lived in the first century, and I'm going to just read a scripture real quick in 2 Peter, because Peter's talking to Paul. And it says, in his epistles, he's speaking things which are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do with the rest of Scripture. And I'm like, if here's Peter talking about Paul, who's living in the same time period, in the same culture, in the same geographical area, and he says some of Paul's writings are hard to understand, what makes us think and be so arrogant that 2,000 years later, we can just understand it without the Spirit of truth really leading us into those truths?
That's right. And not only that, when we study the Bible, we also look at who's writing it,
mm-hmm.
who wrote it. We're looking at context. What's going on here? What in the culture around them to really understand? Just like we have to interpret what's going on today. When we hear something on the media, especially, who is delivering that information and what's behind it? Who's paying for this person? Mm-hmm. It's just in any marketing ploy. And that's what's happening today. And I really want to get this across. And I hope to join the AGs up in when they stop in Pennsylvania in a couple weeks or in a few weeks with this tour that they're doing. As I really would like to get across to people, we have been marketed to.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to pay attention who is paying for this message, because the news is not, it may be free for us because we are being marketed to, but on the other end, there are intentions and they are playing on our psychology. They are, mm-hmm. they're preying on that part of our brain that is most susceptible, the amygdala. And so when people can affect your emotions, they have you. And that's why God gave us a frontal lobe as well, so that we can think and do critical thinking. And this is something, I know you all were talking about this a little bit earlier, you know, these globalists, they don't want us to think critically. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're going to do everything that they can to infect us with this nanotechnology that's going to deaden our senses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why all of these big pharma thing, these medications, they deaden your senses. You
right.
cannot think critically anymore. which also impairs your relationship with God, because God, I believe that our soul is somewhere in between that amygdala and that frontal lobe, and we have to use it all. We have to renew our mind, and that's not all. You know, a lot of people say you can check your brain out at the door when you walk into a church. That is so far from the truth. Mm-hmm. You better be thinking critically on what God is saying to you. Use that frontal lobe. Don't just get caught up in the emotions. It's like when Jesus was telling the parable about the seeds, the sower, and some of the seeds, they lay on the rocks and the birds come and get them. Well, that is the enemy. That's mm-hmm. the enemy coming to get them, because you go into an awesome service, these contemporary services, you get caught up with the worship service. The music is wonderful. And then you leave. And guess what? By the time you hit the parking lot, you don't really know what the message was. But it's okay, because you had this feel-good moment. So yep. That's not where we need to be. And that's the churches really need to get on the ball here. I have not heard one church that I have gone to in my area talk about what's really happening and the balance that we're in. And these people want to take away our ability to seek God for real. And that's a problem.
Yeah, and this is what I've said. I mean, of course, my doctorate's in education, and I mean, every church should be a Bible college. And if it was a Bible, every church was a Bible college, teaching what you teach and what I teach. You know, but like you said, people want to show up for 45 minutes and that's all the education, that's all the indoctrination they get. And it's so easy to lead them astray. We got about 40 seconds left. Can you tell the people where they can follow up and find you, please?
I'm at livingintothetruth.org. I'm also on Rumble at the Faith and Culture Show. And also, you might be able to find me, Catherine Camp Ministries. And so those are the two places. Basically, I'm locked out of my Facebook, so I'm going to have to change venues there. And Cloud Hub. So.
Very good. Yeah, well, we're all locked out of that stuff, Facebook, YouTube. So that just shows me you're on the right track. Definitely want to get you back on. I look forward to working with you in the future.
Same here, Dr. John Diamond. Thank you.
All right. God bless everybody else. We have a special guest host tomorrow, and then I'll see you next week. God bless.